Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine crisis. The battlefront. Remark by the President of the United States in these last hours. I've decided, said Mr. Biden, that we will provide the Ukrainians with more advanced rocket systems and munitions. I will end there. Because this is a controversy that came out of nowhere and has apparently now disappeared about a particular weapon system. And I go to Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired and artilleryman, who is also CBS News and Dickinson College and the CEO of Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy, to help me understand not only this advanced rocket system, but that word munitions. Jeff has taught me over many weeks that what really matters is what you're putting in the weapon, not only the weapon itself. Jeff, a very good evening to you. If I understand correctly, this is a multiple launch system. It looks mobile to me, and it looks exceedingly lethal with good abilities to surveil and fire and hit what it's aiming at. But there was this odd detail about how far it can shoot. Please help me understand what the difference that was and has now disappeared was. Good evening to you.
John, good evening to you. We're talking the HIMARS system, the High Mobility Artillery Rocket System. In essence, think of it as a rocket in a box, the box put on the launching platform, which is a truck-mounted vehicle. There are six rockets in each one of those boxes, so you can ripple, as we call it, multiple rockets off on a target with high accuracy out to a range of about 80 kilometers or about 50 miles. The restriction the Biden administration is putting on this is there's a second munition, the so-called ATACMS, Advanced Tactical Missile System, that can also be fired off that same launcher, the same sort of thing, but it's a single rocket in a box. That particular missile has a much greater range. That range could be 300 kilometers or more, so we're talking 200 miles or more. So the needle, I believe, the Biden administration is trying to thread with the president's remarks is providing more advanced systems to Ukraine to defend themselves and potentially over time push the Russians back off the territory of the Ukraine they occupy, while at the same time not offering them longer range systems, which the Ukrainians could use against targets within Russia, which might risk them greater escalation and a greater possibility of a direct confrontation between NATO, the United States, and the Russian Federation.
Accuracy. You've taught me, Jeff, that that is everything when it comes to artillery rounds. Is the system accurate? Does it use drones and satellites and surveillance aircraft to measure its accuracy, or does it have something internally that can hit what it's aiming at?
It has all those things potentially, John. There are certain munitions that, like the Excalibur round, which can be fired out of an artillery piece, for example, which I've now learned if I can get that round, the exact location of the target is put in the fuse. And if I can get that round within an 8x8 kilometer box in the air, it can home in on that particular grid location. So this can be a highly accurate weapon system. That being said, it's a weapon system and not just a weapon. The particular launcher, be it a HIMARS, be it a howitzer, can locate its own position. That's critically important to solving the artillery question, and certainly can be integrated with drones, counter-battery radar systems, and other things to acquire the target at distance. But the problem is, of course, to link that entire system from acquiring accurately the target location to prioritizing targets to calculating firing data based on the location of the particular launching platforms and then transmitting that data rapidly to that platform so the target can be engaged. So the Ukrainians, while they have more lethal weapons, have got to be able to master this system. And while the Biden people talk today about, well, the HIMARS could be employed within a couple of weeks, we can train a crew within a couple of weeks to begin using that on the battlefield, I think it's a bit more problematical in training Ukrainians to master that entire system. Acquisition, processing, data calculation, and then passing it down to a gun crew to actually do the employment of a projectile.
If I understand correctly, then, the Ukrainians are about to receive, in addition to the howitzers we've already talked about, extremely, extremely powerful systems that will continue indefinitely in their hands, and that gives Ukraine the ability to rain fire down on the Russian forces wherever they are, ceasefire or not, retreat or not, and pound them with an accuracy and range that they've lacked so far. Is all that correct, Jeff? We're giving them a very big weapon.
Absolutely correct, John. The one other key thing of all this, of course, is, as you and I have talked before, this is more and more becoming an artillery war. One of the things that the HIMARS is particularly effective at, using that six rocket array in a box, is so-called counter-battery radar. And it was instructive to me, not only are we providing them more of those weapons, we're also providing them more counter-battery radar systems. And these particular radars pick up an enemy artillery projectile as it's flying through the air, and then backtrack on that arc to provide an accurate location of the Russian firing unit that fired, so then you can engage it with your HIMARS at greater distance. Therefore, over time, hopefully depleting Russian artillery and trying to more and more improve your advantage overall in artillery in this now rapidly emerging artillery war.
The Russians then must have a calendar where they know they must find a ceasefire. Otherwise, there will be no safety in the Donbass, whether it is or is not in Russian control. We go to the Donbass now because we have other, this is fog of war. But these reports are coming through consistently from Europe and the United States. The town is Severodonetsk. It is said to be the large city at the end of the Donbass region that is under attack by the Russians, or has been. There's mixed stories about whether the Ukrainians are retreating or not. But Severodonetsk does give Moscow the corridor it's talked about. Is that correct? Is that your reading of the map? Once they have this city, they have the corridor through the Donbass.
Yeah, the corridor through the Donbass, and it's my understanding as well, that would also provide them control over the pretty much the entire territory of those two provinces they've talked about since the onset, that being Donetsk and Luhansk, and those basically comprise the Donbass region. The city of Severodonetsk that you mentioned is obviously key in that regard, to also securing some ability to cross the river there. But furthermore, it's going to be very difficult, I think, for the Russians, though they control, we believe, at this point, part of the city. They have not shown themselves to particularly do well in urban fighting. Witness the 82-day siege of Mariupol, number one. Number two, President Zelensky protested the attack there. And one reason he protested it is apparently this particular city has a large number of chemical factories. That was an industry there prior to the war. And so there's a grave concern that collateral damage to those chemical factories could induce massive clouds of chemical contamination to the detriment not only of the civilian population, but obviously the forces engaged in the city.
The aim, the strategic aim of Moscow might be that corridor through the Donbass towards Crimea, except we now come again, fog of war, Kherson Oblast, one of the first, if not the first, part of Ukraine to fall to the Russians in the early days of the offensive in February. Kherson province, one, is said to be staffed by a less than reliable Russian force, perhaps volunteers, perhaps the wounded, perhaps it's undermanned. Two, Kherson's been under counterattack for weeks, to my reading, across the Bug River into Kherson Oblast. And three, the Ukrainians have consistently launched counteroffensives that are boasted about in Ukraine-friendly news. Again, it's fog of war. I take into account that people can boast in order to improve morale or in order to confuse the adversary. But in any event, Kherson must be secured, and it does not now look to be secured. So therefore, the success in Donbass is completely compromised by that piece of the map. Do I read it correctly, Colonel?
I think you read it very correct, John. And furthermore, of course, the Russian has always had the problem of concentrating the effort. And so to the degree to which they can place pressure on Kherson means the Russians have got to devote some level of forces and some level of supply to that point, which depletes what they can concentrate as they try to secure Luhansk, Severodonetsk, and all those places. Furthermore, you're right, they have tried to Russify this particular area in the aftermath of the occupation now almost 100 days ago by bringing in Russian officials, introducing the ruble, I think they've now forced this area to use Russian area codes for telephone services. So they're really trying to Russify this area very quickly. But that doesn't seem to be having great effect with the population, many of whom still provide information, I'm told, by cell phones and others of Russian troop movements in that area. And then last but not least, of course, this is doubly complicated by the Kherson area is at the end of the food chain, if you will, for the Russian resupply system, which has been woefully inadequate, as we've seen from the onset of this war. And then finally, if that's not enough, they've been totally ineffective in employing any of the assets of the Black Sea Fleet to support their ground operations because of the fear of being struck by land-based missile systems against their ships. I also note, in addition to those HIMARS, John, that Denmark is now going to transfer more Harpoon anti-ship missiles to Ukrainian forces.
You mentioned the Black Sea Fleet, and we turn to NATO next because there's a worldwide food crisis right now. Food security is not routine across the North Africa into the subcontinent. Some nations are unable to pay their fuel bills, let alone their food bills. So when we come back, the grain fleet, it's blockaded. It's behind rows after rows of mines, we're told. What is to be done? Jeff McCausland, Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired, CBS News, Dickinson College, the CEO of Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.